Since we had the baptism this morning, I just wanted to read this. This is a book I got years ago, Seussisms for Success. And they're little quips from Dr. Seuss, and this one fits today. And it's from Oh, the Places You'll Go. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head and feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. He's a wise man, Dr. Seuss. Now, for me, I grew up in Southeast Michigan. I finished junior high and high school in the city of Detroit. I went to Detroit Public Schools. And when it came time to decide on where to go to college, I did what most guys do. No, it wasn't. That was the school that had the best program for me. Nope. It wasn't that that was the area I wanted to travel to, as Dr. Seuss put it. Nope. It was to follow a girl, because that's what guys do. And so I wound up at Grand Valley State Colleges. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, Bob, it's not called Grand Valley State Colleges. It was back then. I know it's a university now. It's grown. It's huge. And we have a lot of people from this congregation who have gone there. I know a number of friends who have children who have gone there. But it didn't work out with that girl I followed. It's funny how life, you know, throws you those twists. But here's what's really cool. I did find the girl I would marry. And so marry her I did. And so Sue and I were married up there. And we stayed there for a number of years. Started off living in Allendale, which is where Grand Valley is. And then we moved to the east side of the Grand Rapids area, living in Ada and Cascade. Both of our children were born in West Michigan. They were born at Blodgett Memorial Hospital, which no longer exists in name. It exists physically, but they've changed the name. And so we stayed up there and started our life together. But even though we were there 12 years, it never, ever felt like home. And so in 1989, when an opportunity presented itself for a job change, after much discussion, argument, prayer, Sue and I made the decision we were going to return to Southeast Michigan with our family. And so we did. And we settled in a place and were able to attend the church where Sue had attended since she was 12 years old. It was the same church that Sue and I were married in. And it just so happens to be the church that you're worshiping in today. So we came home. And for Sue, it truly was a homecoming. We lived 5 miles or less away from her parents and the only house that she knew in Brighton. And for me, it was a bit of a change in that my commute went up to a minimum of 50 minutes. And on those snowy days like we had in early November, it could be double or triple that. And the other thing that was really unique for me, even though we had lived in Grand Rapids those 12 years, I grew up in the city, okay? If you don't know this, Brighton is the suburbs. It's a lot different than the city, but let me tell you, when we're able to get to my parents who are now deceased, when we're able to go visit them quickly and be able to see our siblings on a moment's notice, this was home. We had come home, and it was a joy to be here. Now, many of us, probably some in this room, have been involved in moving to a new city. Show of hands, new city. All right, cool. All right, how about a new state? How many people have moved between states? Oh, wow. All right, here's a big one. How many people have moved to different countries? Raise your hands high. Wow, you've traveled. Oh, the places you'll go. All right, other than Canada. Because that's not a big move, is it? That's just across the border. Well, we have that opportunity to move. Or when we go other places, they say our accent gives us away. And I don't know about that because I don't think anybody here in Michigan has an accent. This is the way people are supposed to talk. This is it. And so it's those other people who have accents. Now, maybe you moved and you didn't have a say in the matter. Maybe it's when you were a child, like I was. I moved from New Jersey to Michigan. I didn't have a say in the matter. I was three. Or maybe it was for a job change. Or maybe it was because something else had happened in your life and you wanted to find a new place. Or maybe you went away to college and said, I'm staying here. Or maybe you just wanted to live in a state that looked like a mitten. You can't do that anywhere else, right? Well, there's so many reasons why we travel, why we move to live in a different place. And this morning, I'm here to tell you there's those times where it is a new state of being for us, not just a new state of living. But it's my hope that you have found joy and will find joy wherever it is that you call home. Throughout Advent and Christmas now, we are focused on joy. And if you've been here for any of the Advent services, we focused on loving joy. Maybe that one was your favorite. Or we focused on the outgoing, unabashed joy. Or on Christmas Eve, we celebrated incarnate joy. And whatever joy filled your heart, I want you to know that for a lot of us, that joy sort of slowed down, didn't it? Christmas Eve came, and then Christmas Day came, and it seems like it's all over. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. Maybe it's because the radio station stopped playing Christmas music. Or maybe it's because the stores switched from Christmas to Valentine's Day overnight. Or maybe it's because you've had to stand in those lines to return that perfect gift that turned out not to be so perfect. But what I'm here to tell you is Christmas is not over. Right? Christmas has not ended. And in fact, we're still in the Christmas season. And for those of you who know the song, we're still in the 12 days of Christmas. This is day 5. So go out and get your true love. What? 5 gold rings. That's right. They have to have them. Now, what's really cool is because of the way the calendar fell, next Sunday is the 12th day of Christmas. And Mike has lined up 12 drummers drumming to come in and celebrate with us. All right. If you show up expecting that next week, I'm here to tell you they won't be here. So don't, no expectations. Thanks, Mike, for trying, though. But see, today we're going to spend some time and we're going to try to connect with God's compassionate joy. Now, I want to read you the definition of compassion from Merriam-Webster. Sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. That help? There's a lot of words there, a lot of big words. What do they call those, $10 words? So let's break it down. Sympathetic, so having sympathy, feeling that inside of you, but consciousness. So it's sympathetic consciousness. You're aware of it and you have that sympathy. But here's what the key is. It's of the others' distress, feeling it and knowing it, and then having that desire to alleviate it, to fix it, to minimize it. Not minimize it, but to reduce it, make it easier for them. That's what it is all about when we talk about compassion. So consider this morning as we hear the gospel story. What I want you to do is think about it while I'm reading. Where is compassionate joy in that gospel story this morning? Because see, we're still in the Christmas season, and we're going to continue on with the story around Jesus' birth. Now, in today's gospel reading from Matthew, we're going to hear about the first couple years of Jesus' life. And where it starts out, the Magi are there, and they've given Jesus those gifts. But what they don't realize yet is that their life is going to be full of change. Events are going to happen, things are going to happen, they're going to travel, and they were unexpected for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. They had to flee to Egypt to protect Jesus. We're going to hear about a fearful, a leader, a ruler full of fear and vengeance, and what actions he took because he feared the newborn king, Jesus, and what that would mean to his reign. We'll hear about crying mothers, their wails replacing the angels singing. It's part of the birth story that most of us would prefer to ignore and to not have to hear about. See, the road at this point in Jesus' life for his parents, it wasn't a straight road. It was filled with twists and turns and challenges. The path was difficult. Hear these words from Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him." Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I have called my son out of Egypt." When Herod knew that the Magi had fooled him, he grew very angry. He sent soldiers to kill all the children of Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger. This was according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. This fulfilled the word spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and much grieving, Rachel weeping for her children, and she did not want to be comforted because they were no more. After King Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said, "and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Those who were trying to kill the child are dead." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus ruled over Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he went to the area of Galilee. He settled in a city called Nazareth so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. When we hear this story, we may think, what has joy got to do with that? What has compassion got to do with that? How do we find compassionate joy in those difficult situations, that uncertainty, those different places that we find ourselves? Today's gospel reading opened again with Joseph trusting in what God's messenger told him, and he followed those instructions. He got up and immediately took the family and went to Egypt. He took Mary, he took the child, and it's interesting to note that Matthew is very specific in calling Jesus the child, not Joseph's child, because he didn't want any confusion that this was God's son, not Joseph's. Joseph trusted the angel, and he took the family beyond where Herod could get to him, beyond where he would be killed. He had to leave the promised land, didn't he? He had to go to Egypt. He had to go to another town. He had to go and seek asylum in a city 75 to 100 miles away. Now, today we think about that and we go, 75 to 100 miles? How is that even safe? I haven't even left the state of Michigan. But back then, that distance was huge, and that the angel knew that protection would be there. God knew that protection would be there. They would be safe while Herod was living. So we know what happened when Herod found out that the Magi had left and not come to tell him where Jesus was. He flew into a rage and he decided, I'm going to take this into my own hands and I am going to make sure I get that child. And he issued a decree, one that was violent, one that was devastating, one that was horrific, and said, all those children 2 years and younger are to be killed. Matthew's very clear to point out, God did not demand that these children be killed. This was done by humans, by a human ruler. And what this recognition is, it's recognition that evil exists, and it truly does run counter to the way God would have us act. Herod was terrified that this new king would somehow take away his authority, would usurp him, would bring him down. But here's the thing about human plans. Herod's horrid act, it didn't work. Jesus still lived, and in the end, Herod dies with Jesus still existing here on earth. And at that point, an angel then again came to Joseph. Yet again, an angel came to Joseph and said, it's safe now. You can go back. Go back to Israel. This is much like the people of Israel did when they went in and out of Egypt. And Hosea the prophet in 11:1, he says this, and out of Egypt I called my son. Jesus was called out of Egypt. And when the Holy Family attempted to return, they found that things weren't as safe as they expected. Herod's son, who was just as paranoid and just as violent as Herod was now in charge. And so the angel came to Joseph in yet another dream and told him, go back home. Go to Galilee. Go to your hometown of Nazareth. Live there. It's a small town. You will be safe. Jesus will be safe. What has joy got to do with this? In the Hebrew scripture, the word for joy, it's used 54 different times. Ra'anan means to shout, to cry out, to overcome. See, shouting for joy, it trains the lungs, right? It gets you ready, have that courage to shout aloud, to say, I see injustice and it's going to stop. So the joy that we see in this is that God did protect Jesus. God protected the family. God wanted to see the compassion that could happen when this child grew and lived. God ensured that Jesus was protected. And if God can protect Jesus from an earthly ruler, God can protect each of us from all of those earthly rulers that sometimes overcome us, whether it's a job loss or a change. It could be health issues. You could be struggling with financial needs. All of these things, God's present. God is there showing compassionate joy to you. See, in this time when we're in the Christmas season, that excitement can end. And we can wind up in that, what's called a blue Christmas, where you're overwhelmed and you're struggling. We're trying to figure out the way. It's like waiting for that next big thing to happen. And we just keep waiting. And what ways can we persevere when those challenges come? When we're waiting for that next good thing to happen, what can we do? How do we trust God through all those challenges as Joseph did, knowing that God has our best interests in heart? How can we face those challenges when those twinkling lights and those beautiful songs are replaced by cries of anguish and challenges? How do we do that? And like Joseph, we have information that can be shared with us. We can follow his example. Like Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, we can trust. And our journeys, they're going to take side trips. They're going to get waylaid. We're going to go in directions we didn't expect. And whether those are physical moves or other changes in our life that move us, I'm here to tell you that God is present with compassionate joy in all of those. And how do we get into a mode where we're hearing that compassionate joy? We may not be asleep and have an angel come to us in a dream, but we can take time in spiritual practices. We can be in prayer. We can study scripture. We can look for ways to hear, see, and know that God is present with us. We can spend time with other people and be involved in conversations with them as they encourage us and work with us through those challenges we face. God's compassionate joy is available to each of us, each and every day. You see, the Magi, they listened to God's word and they acted, right? They took action. They listened, they heard, they saw the star in the sky and they followed it and they came to praise Jesus. And then when they heard in a dream to go home in a different direction to help protect Jesus, they did that. They followed God's direction. They took action. And Joseph, he did the same. He heard the angel tell him, it's okay to take Mary as your wife. This child is from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph said yes. Joseph took action. He was there the night that Jesus was born, caring for Mary, looking out for Jesus. And when the angel came and said, you need to get out of town, you need to flee to another country, Joseph left immediately. He took action. And he took care of the child. And then when he heard it was safe to return, he came back and saw that it wasn't quite as safe as originally thought and wound up taking Jesus to his hometown of Nazareth. See, God protected Jesus from harm in his early life. And there were the most despicable people chasing after him. And they were from the most despised places, and yet God protected him. And if God can protect the Messiah from death, God can protect us. And God does protect us. See, nothing, nothing can defeat the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us every day. And even if we are unable to celebrate peace on earth, yet we are still able to know that there are people who need God's love, joy, hope, and peace, not just during Christmas, but throughout the year, throughout their lives. And we are called to be that hope, that love, that joy, and that peace for them. And we're not doing it alone. Just as Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. Jesus is with us always. Praise the Lord. Hear these words from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. Please join me in prayer. Amazing God, we come before you this morning. Through baptism, water is present, and as the rain falls outside, we know that you are present with us. We recently welcomed the Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us. We give you thanks and praise for sending your Son to live among us, to be as us, to share the human experience, the trials, the challenges, the struggles, even death. But through Christ, something changed. Through the resurrection, hope became permanent. And as we look around the world and we see the struggles people are facing, we know that you are present. We know that we are called to stand up, to take action, to hear your voice, and let people know the love, the hope, the joy, and the peace that you can offer. There are those in this room today that are already in a blue Christmas. May we be Christ to them so that they can see that you are present. Whatever their need is, whatever our need is, be it a physical need, if we're having medical issues, if we're facing struggles, challenges financially, if we're just wondering why, pour your love over us. Embrace us as we embrace this season of love. And as we turn to a time of silent prayer and reflection, we share our innermost thoughts, thoughts you already know, but we share them and we know you hear. Creator God, we give you praise, we thank you. And we raise our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.